Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today. Save big money
at Menards. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's Friday, May 24th. It's Memorial Day weekend in the States, so I hope folks have some time off, or if you're working, it's not too hectic and you get to sit by the pool at some point.
Go to the lake.
Yeah,
do something.
Yes, yeah, celebrate and remember, because that's what Memorial Day is all about. And for us, this Friday, it's about some freaky stories you have chosen for us and that you all have sent in.
Yes, thank you so much. We got several that are related to this week's episode. So
yes,
those are always fun.
And I'm glad they weren't "My Life is Ruined" by Zozo.
No. It's more fun Ouija board stories.
Yes.
So we have a good lineup. Yes. Thank you to everybody that sent your story in. We've been traveling all week on tour, so it's nice to just sit back at home and get to read through everybody's Freaky Fridays.
Yes, get back in the studio and back to the freakiness, and it runs the gamut today. We have brushes with true crime on down to fun Ouija board memories, so buckle in, as they say.
Buckle in. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Kelsey, and it is called "See Something, Say Something, Help Someone, Humiliate Drunk Frat Boys, How to Survive as a Woman." Hello, ladies. Before we jump in, I just want to say thank you. I love this podcast, truly. I don't know how or when I started actively listening, but only after an episode or two, y'all were it for me. I've been an active listener of true crime podcasts, but you are the first and only one I've ever felt the need to be a Patreon, because I didn't want to miss a single thing you record for us. Thank you both for being hilarious, informed, somehow having both an opinion, but also remaining unbiased when it calls for it. That's not sounding like the compliment I mean, but it is, I promise. You encourage young women to be loud and to be aware, but you also teach us slightly older women to never be afraid to offer help. Because of y'all, and me wanting to be more like the woman I want my nieces to be, I stand up for young girls that are uncomfortable. I just want you to know you are changing lives every day in ways you'll never know. Anyway, let's get into it. Recently at a concert, I saw two young women walking around a parking garage, obviously lost. It was a Zach Bryan concert recently in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were in the parking garage, and everything was at a standstill. If you're a Parks and Rec fan, imagine Ben and April in the parking garage in D.C. So the first time me and my boyfriend saw them make a lap around the level of the parking garage, I was aware of them because they looked so pretty and just adorable from an aunt point of view kind of way. The second time we saw them, my boyfriend chuckled and said, "Huh, someone's lost." I then looked down at my phone to start scrolling to kill time since we're not moving. A few minutes later, I look up and again see these two young women making yet another lap. I immediately said, "Huh, that's the third time they've made this lap." And then I hear the concern in my boyfriend's voice when he replied, "Well, actually, it's the fifth time." Like I said, all I could hear were y'all telling us to look out for each other, to care for each other, to help each other. And all I could see were my two nieces, lost in a garage and scared. My boyfriend was already ahead of me, saying, "It's okay if they're drunk, but if they are, I don't want y'all three wandering around. Y'all get back in the truck and we can wait." So I hopped out and kind of hollered, "Do y'all need help?" You could visibly feel the relief and anxiety and fear coming from them the closer I got. They were uneasy from walking so much, but not drunk at all. So I waved to my boyfriend and he winked and told the girls, "Try to make sure she doesn't make anyone cry, okay?" Because he knows the woman he's in love with, and because those girls are safer with me than if they were with the Secret Service. So me and my girls, as I was now calling them, started walking and talking, trying to see if they could remember even a little bit of where they parked. Embarrassed, the older one admitted that they were running late and were not from here, and were only really worried about getting to the show. I could see her starting to cry, so I just grabbed both of their hands and told them, "Look, aunt mode has been initiated. Aunts make dumb mistakes all the time, and we're the clumsy and late ones. Let this messy and always lost aunt help her girls, okay?" Around this time, we walked past three trucks full of drunk fraternity brothers, all blasting music and hanging out the windows and hollering as people walked past. As we got closer, I felt one of the girls tense up, as if bracing herself. And I'm sorry, but fuck that. Not on my fucking watch is this young woman going to experience that. Not while I can do something about it. Then, one of the gentlemen of a local fraternity swatted at the girl's dress, as if to flip it up to see what was underneath. "Okay, look, I have a temper, and I live with a man who manages truck drivers for a living. I curse like a sailor. But therapy has taught me to take a breath and just breathe. Think, then respond." So, unfortunately, both sides collided at that moment, and a little bit of both happened. I saw him touch her dress, and my immediate reaction was, "Destroy him," in the Mortal Kombat voice. Also, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. I graduated from the University of Memphis. We may be in the South, but I was raised on 3-6 Mafia, Project Pat, and other Memphis artists. Our city motto is literally grit and grind. We are not calm, reasonable, soft folks. There is a reason why, unfortunately, we are the most dangerous city in the country, but also the most mentioned city in music. Both facts are true. So I truly forget that I am 5'3" and not 6'8" and a hardened gangster. So my Memphis side came out. I threw out my best curse words and insults and came this close to either headbutting one of them through the open window or slashing their tires. Again, as a woman from Memphis, we don't play games. But I saw the Greek letters on the trucks. I saw chapters on their shirts. So I just took a real big breath and calmly took my phone out, and I began pretending that I was recording their license plate numbers and their faces. They immediately freaked out and said I couldn't do that. Now, Heather, this could be true, or this could be me quick thinking on my feet, but I told them that since they were sexually harassing her and refusing to stop, I needed their faces and their license plates so that when I personally drive the girls to the police station, they can press charges with both campus police and Knoxville police, and then they will be able to locate and detain everyone immediately. And because they were all younger college guys, and I remember dating one when I was in college, I told them that not only would the girls be presenting that to the police, but I would personally make sure that a copy of the video was sent to the local chapter leadership as well as regional and national. I immediately was called the C-word and a few other fun and I guess somewhat creative insults. For college boys, they did their best. Smiling, I told them I was still recording. Windows went up and everyone immediately faced the other way. As we were walking away, one of the girls said, "I wish you really had recorded that." And before I could respond, her friend said, "Don't worry, I did." We eventually found their car, but before we did, I felt the need to give them advice. Always take a picture of where you parked at. Send it to someone. Always make sure someone has your location. Always make sure you have enough battery or bring a charger. Always park under a light and try to avoid columns. Always make sure you have gas. But the main thing I told her is that if they are ever in an uncomfortable, weird, off, scary, anything not good kind of way, go find the nearest woman. 9.9 times out of 10, if you tell us what's going on, we will help you. And God help them if it's a man messing with you. I told her we take care of each other. And then I made them download my favorite episodes of yours to listen to on their way home. Thanks for this show and for loving us, the fans, like you do. Every time I'm listening to you, my boyfriend always asks, so how are the girls this week? Y'all talking about anything interesting? As if y'all can hear my thoughts and reactions and we're friends. I know it's not on this tour, but if you're ever near Memphis, I'll show you what the best barbecue in the country tastes like. I said what I said. I'll show you the home of Elvis Presley and take you down Beale Street for real blues music. Thanks, y'all.
Oh, man. Well, you give us too much credit, Kelsey. That is incredible what you did. And thank you. It sort of becomes like a little cult when it's like, anyway, here's some literature for the drive home. No, but for real, thank you for what you did.
I just love like it. And I love that you saw two girls in distress and recognized that you would be a safe person for them to get help with. And there's no one scarier to a truck full of drunk frat guys than a woman that just doesn't give a fuck.
Yes. It's like, what is it? It's like Kathy Bates in that movie when she's hitting the guy with her car and she's like, I have more insurance than you, so I don't care. Like, I'm just going to hit you with my car because I don't give a fuck anymore.
Well, lawyer, is that true?
They're in a public place. Tell those guys to fuck off and just, no, you're in a public place, idiots.
But can you tell them that you're filming them and that you're going to take it to the cops and all that?
Oh, yeah. Everything she did was 100% legal. Them saying you can't film us is idiotic. They're in a public parking garage that's like open to the public. You have no expectation of privacy. And especially, like she said, I'm gathering evidence as a witness, so I'm fully within my rights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did nothing wrong. And I think the bigger thing is always, we'll go to the chapter president. You know, we see your letters.
Oh, yeah.
We know what school you're from. We're going to call it in on you, especially if it's not, they have an in with the local, the local chapter or the regional. It's like, I'll call the people way, way above your head. So anything to strike the fear to them not slapping a woman's skirt.
That probably scared them more than the cops. Yeah, they don't want to get kicked out of their frat.
No, that's like the most important thing. Yeah.
No, and it makes me sad to think of those two girls walking by that truck and
being like,
you not being with them and that and him slapping her dress. And then what happens? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've all been in those situations where we're uncomfortable. We want to stand up to something that's going on, but we just don't feel safe. So we don't. So if there's someone else that can help you feel safe and you recognize, like, I've been there before. I'm not afraid to walk around this parking garage. And your boyfriend, so
especially
supportive.
You got backup.
Yeah. So I love that. Good for you for looking out for others. And your kind words mean so very much to us. So thank you so much, Kelsey.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, being the aunt you wish your nieces had out in the world, you know, just being the stand-in aunt, the stand-in grandma, the stand-in sister. And yeah, if I'm ever in trouble or tell somebody else, if you're ever in trouble, try to find a mom. I always feel like those are a good go-to.
Yeah.
Or like a heavy metal, like a goth, like a guy, I feel like in a jean vest, like with the sleeves cut off, that's like, the metal community, I feel like, is a very welcoming, warm. There's like communities like that where they're like, yeah, we all take care of each other here. Like,
we'll help you out. No
problem. That's who you find. Find somebody to help you out and fight off those vicious frat boys.
God. Ugh. Three truckfuls of them.
Yeah, I don't have to deal with a truckful. I only have the one at home.
Yeah, I've dealt with many drunk frat guys, and 9.9 times out of 10, don't want to deal with it again.
No.
Well, thank you, Kelsey.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, Gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Well, this next one is from Paige, and Paige's subject line is Bowling Alley Douche Canoe. Hi, ladies. I want to take a moment to first thank you for all the hard work you do. I've shared in the Patreon group before about my battle with cancer this past year, and the community that you guys have built was such a big support to me. Not to mention all the hours spent at the hospital, where your voices kept me company. Now in remission, baby, in Heather's voice. Anyway, here's my story. Some background. This was in 2018. I was in what Michael Scott would call the terminal stages of my second pregnancy. I was 8 months and already on maternity leave from my normal job as a dog groomer, but I didn't have paid maternity leave, hashtag America, so I picked up a part-time job at the bowling alley my family frequented. It was a small town alley, so most everyone knew each other. Anyway, one night I was working the counter at the concession, and a man probably my dad's age, mid-50s, I'm 32 for reference, came up to order. I was leaning against the counter, writing down whatever he was asking for, when he said, "Man, I had no idea that bowling alley food came with a show now." I stared at him for a solid 5 seconds, having absolutely no idea what he was talking about. "Huh?" I responded. He gave me this horribly creepy look. I can't describe it, but it just gave me the ick. And he said, "Come on, don't act like you don't know," and proceeded to stare at my chest. I was mortified. Listen, I know it doesn't matter, but for the record, I was wearing an incredibly not low-cut maternity shirt. What about me made him think I was fishing for a not compliment from him? Ew. I completely froze. I said nothing, and eventually just walked to the back. He walked around, putting his arms in the air, acting like he had no idea what he did wrong. I always like to think that if faced with anything like this, I would respond in a more Christy way and just yell at him to get fucked. But there we were. I was a hormonal mess and just went to the back and sobbed of embarrassment. Little did this guy know, my dad was also bowling that night. Needless to say, they had words. I wasn't there to see, but my dad can be a pretty intimidating guy if you don't know him. A while later, the guy came back up to the counter to apologize, probably because my dad made him. His apology was, "It was supposed to be a compliment, you know." Me, "Does that ever work for you?" Him, "Come on, I'm sorry. Can we just hug it out?" Me, "Are you joking?" "No." And then I walked away. Clearly, this man still thought what he did was fine. And to be honest, I still gaslight myself into making very little of it. But it's 5 years later, and I'm still thinking about it enough to write a story in. Anyway, I know that it isn't super freaky, but thank you for taking the time to read and for sharing so many people's experiences so that the rest of us feel comfortable speaking up. A side note, I can't wait to see you guys in St. Louis next week. If you read this after, I was the one who brought you guys the crocheted Sinisterhood Purple Fresno Nightcrawler. Also, I mentioned I'm a pet groomer, so naturally I'll attach pictures of my precious babes. Toodles, Paige.
Aw, Paige. Well, thank you for our Nightcrawler. We did
receive that. I love it.
It's perfect. Oh, it's beautiful. It's
sitting in my studio right now. And Paige also made two tiny little baby Nightcrawlers, one for Simon and one for Ella. And they both love them very much. So thank you so much. It's and so sweet. And your doggies,
stop it. A poodle and a corgi.
These pictures are ridiculous. This picture of this poodle looks like a school photo with that background.
It looks like the poodle has graduated fourth grade. Like, it's fantastic.
I love corgis. There's a corgi that lives on my street named Gumbo. And anytime Gumbo is out, I'm like, "Gumbo! It's a Gumbo sighting." I love him so much.
You spotted Gumbo. Oh, wow. Well,
and also congrats on your remission. Yes. That's incredible. So way to go.
Remission, baby. You did
it.
Oh, well, and yeah, that Patreon group's a good Geller support group. I tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
And we love meeting you in person, but don't minimize what happened to you. I think this is a thing where you were in a complete, you did nothing wrong. You were existing.
Oh, no.
And then someone just comes up and acts filthy and shitty for no reason. And I don't feel bad about how you reacted in the moment either, because that's, like you said, and you were a hormonal mess, but also that's just such a shock None of us can even be prepared for that. Of like, I didn't know I'm going to be sexually objectified and harassed when I'm in the terminal stages of my pregnancy.
Such a very good pull from The Office.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you thinking that I would yell at him to get fucked, which maybe today, but I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has happened to me many times from people I know and strangers, and I've never told anyone to get fucked. In fact, most times I've sobbed of embarrassment later because you feel like somehow it's your fault, even though you're literally doing nothing wrong and it doesn't matter what you're wearing. And, you know, and you're just pregnant trying to work and just do your job, and this guy is a sleazeball. So there's no right or wrong way to react. He's the one that can get fucked. And I'm very glad that your dad was there. And I will say that sleazeball needs a lesson in how to apologize to somebody because that is not an apology. That's not an apology at all.
No, he's an unrepentant sleazeball who continued. Mm-hmm. It's like, I gave you like 4 outs not to be shitty and you tripled and quadrupled down. So like, nah, I'm good.
I hope you went gutter ball all night.
Yes.
0 pins.
Yes. I hope that you got a fungus from the bowling shoes, sir. And I hope that you, every single time, you would split them so you could never clear the lane. Mm-hmm. And you were always always gutter balling for
I
sure.
I hope when you stuck your fingers in the bowling ball, somebody had put like gooey, boogers. Gross stuff in there. And you just had to pull your hand out like, what is this? And you don't know. You don't
and
know
you
what
never
it is,
will.
But you had to go wash it off and deal with it.
And now maybe you have a rash from it. But seriously, I'm glad that your dad was there because sometimes we need backup, and that's all right too. And even though the apology was a non-apology,
non-apology for sure. And just don't ever comment on people's bodies.
Yeah,
it's fuck not off. It, whether you know them, whether they're a stranger. Just fuck off. You're not there. Just do what you're supposed to do and leave. That's all we all need to do. Just
take
do what you got to do
shoes
and get out.
And go, sir.
And leave. Go
I
get
said
in
good
your
day,
lane.
Sir. I said good
literally,
day.
Literally, stay in your lane.
Go back to your lane and stay there, certainly.
Right? Well, Paige, congratulations on your admission. That's amazing. And for your sweet baby.
Yeah.
And for the sweet crocheted items. We get a lot of crocheted items. And I'm impressed on multiple levels because I can't do that. And also to think that somebody like used their hands to make us something is always so very sweet. So thank you so much.
It's more precious. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, this next one is very interesting, Heather, and ties into a story we had on last week's Freaky Friday as well.
I'm ready.
Something's going on. That's all I'm going to say. Something's going on. This is from Sam, and the subject line of Sam's story is Onion Glitch in the Matrix Story. Hello, creepy queens. I listened to one of your recent Freaky Friday episodes where someone shared a story about an onion falling off the counter and disappearing. It immediately made me laugh because I realized I also had a very strangely similar story. So here it goes. I just gave birth at the end of February. Actually, I saw y'all in San Francisco last year, and the day after your performance was my scheduled IUI. It was my second one, and while the first one had failed, the one the day after I saw y'all actually worked. So I always say that my daughter is my sinister baby. I truly feel like y'all gave me good luck, as I saw you as a gift to my mom for Mother's Day last year. She's also a big fan of the podcast. Y'all rubbed the mom energy off on me. So what does this have to do with my onion story? Well, about a month ago, I was feeding my daughter around 2:30 a.m. I remember the specific hour because my partner and I take shifts. From 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., I handle the baby's needs, and from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m., he does. This works with our natural sleep cycles and schedules, so we both actually end up getting great sleep each night. I know what time specifically it was, in addition to that, because I had been lying awake for about 30 minutes before I actually took my daughter out of the bedroom to feed her that night. We have two cats, who are often just calm and sleeping during nighttime feedings. However, sometimes one or both of them will be up and ornery when a nighttime feeding is happening. And this night, one of our cats, Aria, was running around while I was giving my daughter her bottle. Aria decided to get up onto the kitchen counter and knock one of the two onions off onto the floor in the living room. I quietly scolded her, unable to get up and fix this, but she took no notice. Instead, she jumped down, following the onion, batting it to and fro. She eventually smacked it under the couch, and I scolded her as much as I could, once again, while trying to be quiet enough that I didn't jump scare my baby. Aria took no notice of me, instead shoving herself under the couch. Now listen, my Aria is our younger cat, but she is not the smallest cat. She is a chonker, to say the least. She hasn't been able to fit comfortably under the couch since her first year with us. So immediately, I was concerned and tried, again as subdued as I could be, calling her to stop and to come back out. I watched her fluffy tail disappear under the couch, and after a minute, heard her begin meowing for help, because she was stuck. Now, having a sleeping baby who had just finished her bottle and needed to keep sleeping for mine and my partner's sanity, I was at a crossroads. What to do? I very gently got on my knees while holding my daughter, bending so I could see under the couch without disturbing her slumber in my arms, now that she had a full belly and had been rocked back to sleep. I could see Aria was too far under the couch for me to reach, even if I could reach my full arm under there. I saw Aria, clearly stuck, with the onion between her paws, and she meowed at me plaintively. Since I had my baby in my arms, I went back into the bedroom and woke my partner. As I was laying her in the co-sleeper, I told him, "Aria's stuck under the couch. She chased an onion under there, and I don't think I can reach her." My partner has much longer limbs than me, and routinely saved Aria from situations like this, so he got up to fix it. After a minute, however, he came back and said, "Are you fucking with me?" I didn't understand and said as much. He replied, "Aria's in her bed at the front window. There's no onions under the couch." I was floored. Immediately, I sprang up and went back out into the front of the house, knowing my partner was in the bed watching our daughter in the co-sleeper. Sure enough, Aria was across the kitchen, away from the couch, in her bed at the front window, eyes at half-mast like she'd just been woken up from a slumber. I immediately went over to the couch, passing by the counter, which I noticed had an onion back on it, like the one I'd seen Aria bat off and under the couch not 20 minutes previously. Bending down, I saw that there was no onion under the couch and no Aria caught with her fat little kitty haunches. To this day, I don't understand what happened here. I know I wasn't just hallucinating. I get it, new parents are sleep deprived, yada yada yada, but like I said, I'd been awake about 30 minutes before my daughter had even needed her bottle that night. I have difficulty sleeping sometimes, and that night I had distinctly woken up from a nightmare, looked at the clock, knew that she would wake up probably within that hour, and that if she didn't, I could then fall back asleep. And so I had stayed up scrolling Instagram on my phone. I was wide awake. What did I witness? Some glitch in the Matrix? I can't wait to hear y'all's thoughts on it. Keep it creepy. Love, Sam, her partner, and her sweet, sinister baby.
Oh, well, I love the sinister baby. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yes, that's amazing. Congrats.
As for this onion thing, I need some scientists to weigh in. If we got food scientists or chemists, biologists, because we need to figure out what's different about an onion and why onions are more likely to permeate what I think are interdimensional folds. Because
We have two instances of this happening. So you you've deduced that onions are more likely to permeate an interdimensional fold.
I don't know. Okay. Perhaps I watched a clip from the SALT conference, which is this big financial conference. I used to watch it every year when I worked at a hedge fund, but I don't really have to anymore. But interesting ones, like the very final one was a former colonel from the United States military who was essentially being questioned on non-human intelligence from either other planets or from other dimensions, which that's the phrase that the federal governments began using in these hearings. They no longer say like extraterrestrial alien. the senators, the congressmen that are in these hearings keep using this phrase in the terminology of like interdimensional. And this guy in his speech kept talking about non-human intelligences have been interacting with humans on Earth. And so my combination of that, which would be like, okay, well, if they're not extraterrestrial, the right now, all the government, the whistleblower, David Grush are all saying, okay, they're interdimensional. That means shit can slip in and out because we can only see like 5% of the visible light spectrum. So I don't know. They're sucking your onions up. They're getting stuck somewhere. I can't explain it to you, but I think it's all connected. I think it's connected. I'm putting okay. the pieces together from legitimate sources. Like I said, it sounds funny, but it's kind of scary. It's like horrifying that like hedge fund conferences dedicate, like they're dedicating entire segments to it. I think because the federal government is having those hearings and having those intelligence meetings, because they're like, well, we need to know what this is.
So how is the cat an interdimensional being?
The cat's not. I think the cat was just catting. And maybe, who knows, the being is like, oh, the cat's stuck. The lady's got a baby. I'll help it out. Throws the cat back, puts the onion back where it goes.
Okay. So in your theory, interdimensional being came into her home to help out.
I don't think they have to come into our homes. I think that they exist on the same planes as, like, in the same vicinity, but in a different dimension. The guy in the SALT conference was like, non-human intelligence exists. It's been interacting with humanity. It's not new. It's ongoing. It is documented in the military. And so I think they're getting us warm to it. That's why there's mentions of it. That's why the whistleblower, we're finding shit out.
I'm having trouble understanding how it relates to this cat in the onion.
Because I think that if there are interdimensional beings, non-human intelligences, they can interact with us, whether it's to hide our keys or to help us find our keys. And I don't mean like, oh, it's the ghost of your grandmother. I mean, it could potentially be a smarter being existing on another plane. That's some people's theories.
Okay, so the cat maybe was playing with this being and knock the onion under the sofa, but then the being helped the cat get out and put the onion back on the table.
That is the most counter. Likely explanation, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, there you go. I guess it's been solved, Sam. So hopefully that helped.
It sounds like
I don't know if it made it better or not, but you might have interdimensional beings under your couch that I guess at the very least would help get Aria unstuck.
Yeah. My thing's like, you are welcome to be a part of my home if you are going to help. Like, if I could wake up and my dishes were magically done, or I could wake up and like my lawn was mowed and I didn't have to like hear the sound of a lawnmower, donezo. Yeah, welcome. We can coexist like Beetlejuice.
Come on over.
Like Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis living with the Dietz family. You know, we can find a way to coexist.
And I guess they've got an onion.
Yeah.
Hankering.
They like it.
They like onions.
We got to narrow it down to what it is about onions that make them particularly susceptible to this.
You know, they're a polarizing vegetable. So
true.
People either love them or hate them usually. So that is something to look into. Well, thank you so much, Sam, for sending that in. And congrats so much on your sweet, sinister baby.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This next one is from Josh, and the subject line is a made-up cryptid actually real? Hi, gals. My name is Josh, and I'm from Australia. I started listening to you a couple months ago and have literally had you playing through my headphones at work 5 days a week ever since. Before I get to my story, I wanted to add something from another Freaky Friday story. Specifically, the two girls who escaped Ivan Milat, Australia's most well-known serial killer. It occurred to me that when he took the girls down a dirt road into the bush, it was most likely Belanglo State Forest. The reason I think that is because it's where Milat buried his victims. This is honestly one of the creepiest places I've ever been to. Belanglo is not a natural forest. It's mostly pine trees, which are not native to Australia and were actually planted back in 1919. Because they were planted by people rather than nature, the trees are arranged in perfect rows. No matter which direction you look, the trees are always in a straight line, which just feels wrong. Detectives who worked on the Millat murders have said there's, quote, pure evil in the forest. My skin was crawling the whole 2 days I was there. I've attached some photos of the place so you can see what I mean, including one of us making a short film there. As for my story, Australians like to play a joke on unsuspecting tourists by telling them about a vicious creature known as a drop bear. It's always described as a big mana koala, sometimes also described as venomous. Drop bears sit in trees just like koalas, but drop from the trees onto prey when it walks below them, killing it upon impact. They can be kept at bay, however, by applying Vegemite behind your ears. Now, none of this is actually real. Or is it? A few years back, I got off the train coming back from a night out clubbing and started my walk home. This would have been around 3 a.m. or so, and I had a 2.5-hour walk ahead of me. Because of the terrain on the east coast of Australia, it's very common for suburbs to be separated by a few kilometers of bushland. So, most of my walk was along the main road, with dense bush on either side. During my walk, I heard a loud crash amongst the trees to my left, followed by a grunt and then the sound of an animal walking away. It definitely sounded exactly like something had fallen out of a tree, and the grunt did sound like a noise a koala would make. However, whatever fell was way too heavy to be a koala. But there isn't anything bigger than a koala that lives in trees. We do have a Bigfoot in Australia, known as a Yowie, but I don't know if they climb trees. Did I have a close encounter with a drop bear? I like to think so. P.S. On behalf of Australians, no one here says, throw a shrimp on the barbie. I honestly have no idea where this came from, because we call them prawns, not shrimp.
Probably came from Crocodile Dundee, which is where a lot of Americans got their Australian knowledge.
And I think, too, maybe Ace Ventura says that in Ace Ventura when he's making fun of a person's Australian accent. I think Jim Carrey was like maybe riffed that or something. So,
oh, yes.
So
yeah.
I apologize. We're going to say, throw another prawn on the Barbie.
Throw another prawn on the Barbie. I just have to say, I love that your country / continent has come together to be like, we got a drop bear when the tourists come by. And it's bigger and meaner than a koala, which I've recently learned some things about koalas, which has changed my opinion of them.
The sounds they make are heinous.
Yeah.
Wild.
They also are riddled with the clap.
But yeah, they do have chlamydia. It is a dangerous thing. You don't get too close. But it's wild to me, the sounds that they make, because they're so cute and cuddly. And I just always thought they were quiet. But
screaming koalas or something else, man. But a giant one that's venomous and just falls on top of you, I don't know. I get in the Vegemite behind your ears. That's great. Love it. You could have seen a drop bear or heard one, Josh. You may have heard a drop bear or a Yowie. Maybe. What if it was a bunch of koalas hugging each other?
All
and then
one?
They all fell out together.
They walk together like the Power Rangers Megazord. They one giant koala.
Two big koalas mating.
Yes.
They got tussled up and fell off the branch, and then that's what you heard.
Yeah, that's the sound of a koala like sound. Is like, was it just a huge one? I mean sometimes those rumors, we have like snipe hunting in the U.S. where it's like all made up and everything, but there are still things out in the forest. So whether
that's
it was a Yowie or just a mega koala with a glandular case, we don't TBD. If you're walking 2.5 hours after being at the club all night, my God, sir.
You are a brave, brave person.
Only the strong
survive.
Through
the bush?
Only the strong
survive. Yeah, it'd have to be, it'd have to be a really good club for me to walk 2.5 hours through the bush at night to do that. But
no.
I hope you had a great, and you wouldn't have had this story had you not. So
true, exactly. That's how you encounter the drop bears. Also, these photos that you included, that is eerie. You're right. There's something about that like unnatural formation of natural things where it's like, people did this. This is made up. But
trees don't grow naturally like this.
And knowing that eerie history is just, ugh. I can see why the cops would say that.
Yeah. I Googled how to pronounce the state park, and the first link that came up was about bones being found in this part. And they talk about Ivan Milat and how that was kind of where he was known to bury and take his victims. So I think you're onto something there for sure.
Very, very eerie. Well, thank you so much for listening, Josh, all the way from Australia. And please feel free to be throw in any more of those, like, is this a thing in Australia? Like, first of all, we learned there's no lions, tigers, or bears, and now no shrimp on the barbie either. No, next thing you're going to tell me is there are rules, and it's not just right. I'm not ready to hear that.
We're going to hear that onions don't really just bloom there.
And they don't bloom it?
First of all, don't think that's true.
Goddamn. Well, we had to learn sometimes, like, every good fantasy gets punctured. So now when I go to Australia, at least you saved us the embarrassment of ordering that. So thank you, Josh. Mm-hmm. Well, this next one's from Lisa, and the subject line is, the Ouija board almost got me expelled for accidentally starting an elementary school cult. Hey, ladies. Longtime listener here who has intended to send in a Freaky Friday submission forever, but the Zozo Demon episode stirred otherwise long-forgotten memories of elementary school. So, let's get into it. I've always been into the creepy and supernatural, ever since I was a kid. My 4-year-old niece seems to be following in my footsteps, and I cannot wait to be able to share this all with her. But back when I was around 9 years old or so, I remember being introduced to the concept of the Ouija board at a distant cousin's christening. Weird spot, but whatevs. Introduced by some older kids. I was enthralled by this idea that we could talk to spirits. And at the time, we were using simply a piece of paper and a little paper football as a planchette. I took what I learned to school with me. At every recess, my friends and I would get together with our drawn board and paper football and talk to whomever would come through. My friend at the time, let's call her Jane, seemed to take it far more seriously than us, claiming she saw a boy with patchy hair and a flannel shirt climbing the trees. I mean, it was the early 90s when grunge was everywhere, so that tracks. I had no idea any of this was an issue until I was called into the principal's office one day. I was the goodiest of good girls, so I had never had to go before. My parents were there. Uh-oh, this was serious. I sat down, and the conversation immediately turned to my pushing of Satan worship onto my classmates and how I was not allowed to start a Satanist group on school grounds. I was incredibly confused. Satan? Who invited him? I was just having fun. Needless to say, this put the fear of everything in me, and I quickly stopped my spiritual shenanigans. I have so many stories I want to share, like when my dog saved me from being kidnapped as a toddler, to fainting at the famed La Lurie house in New Orleans, to working with a world-famous psychic medium. I met you both a few years ago in San Antonio. I was the New York broad who got to ask Judge Christie to rule on whether it's acceptable for Texas establishments not to serve either Cheetos or Diet Dr. Pepper. Thanks for being my weekly burst of sunshine in a world that increasingly feels cloudy. I'm attaching a pic of my pup here as well, as she has listened to as much of your show as I have. You can tell she's got a penchant for the paranormal. Keep it creepy, and as always, remember, Satan doesn't just rule the airwaves. He's also making little girls like me start cults in his honor. Insert eye roll here. Lisa.
I do remember that, and I ruled that it is not okay, and we were very surprised that this establishment didn't have either of them.
And then we went on the owner's Instagram page, and I wrote a comment, and then a bunch of people started commenting. Listeners started commenting.
I believe it was a comment on his son's picture.
It was them. They were doing a Purdue or Notre Dame. Some football thing. Yeah, and we're like, great job, go Notre Dame. By the way, you should really have Tito's at your restaurant.
Maybe it's changed, and now that they do, is something that I feel like I could have very easily been called to the principal's office for. And perhaps one day I'll be called to go visit Ella at the principal's office for something similar.
Like, you cannot have them all put their hands on a planchette and say, if you're with us, give us a sign.
Well, like, I think you should be able to.
It's recess. You're supposed to be playing with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that
one of the little kids went home, told their parents, and they freaked out and thought their kid was going to be corrupted by the devil.
Yeah, it was probably Jane. She was like, Mommy, I see a boy out my window. I think we conjured him with our Ouija board. Thanks for ratting us out, Jane. Well, Lisa, I think you're on the right track with just trying to show what you had learned to the other kids. And, yeah. and you were not inviting Satan into it. But that was the early 90s, man. That was like satanic panic. Anything. If you wore too much like black in any given day, they were like, is the devil making you wear those pants? Oh, yeah. And you're like, no, I just thought they looked cool.
Yes. Satanic panic was for real. And it made starting our cults at school a lot harder, Lisa, didn't it? So got to do it at home next time.
Yeah. If you see a grungy boy in a flannel shirt climbing the trees, you might be in the 90s. So don't worry about it. Well, thanks, Lisa. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This last one is from my sweet daughter, Anonymous. Subject line is a different sort of Ouija board story. Hello, my spooky sisters. I love everything about the podcast and I'm excited to be writing in for the first time. I really have not had any spooky experiences or brushes with true crime and debated if the story was even worth sending in. However, it's one of my memories I look back on decades later and still laugh to the point of tears, and I thought you would appreciate it. Plus, I know you sometimes mention you enjoy having a lighthearted story or two, so let's dive right in. This takes place sometime in the summer of the early 2000s, when I was your typical preteen girl, aka boy crazy. My good friend, we'll call her M, had invited myself and several of our closest friends over for a sleepover. I was so excited for this event, it was all I could talk about for weeks. M had a younger brother around age 10, we'll call him L, with whom M was constantly bickering, the usual big sister versus younger brother dynamics. Apparently, in order to keep things fair, M and L's parents had decided that since M was having friends over, L was entitled to have friends over the same night. Terrible idea, by the way. I don't understand why they wanted to have approximately 10 children under their care at once, but to each their own. The sleepovers began, and us girls were doing what all preteen girls do during a sleepover. We were barricaded in M's bedroom, braiding hair, and gushing about boys. Multiple times, L and his friends barged in and disrupted us. I'm not sure if they wanted to join us or just annoy us, probably a little bit of both, but M had clearly had enough. After multiple pleas to her parents, she hatched a plan. I will admit, years later, this was a very strange plan, but M grabbed a piece of paper and a pen and scribbled the following message: "You will all die tonight at midnight." She then crumpled this paper into a ball, ensured the boys were out of L's room, and threw it on his bed. Again, why this was a good idea is a mystery to me, but as you will see, this somehow ended up being a brilliant move that M could not have predicted. At some point in the evening, L proclaimed he wanted us all to gather and play with their Ouija board. Yes, the 10-year-old wanted to play with the spirit board. Looking back, I'm still shocked that they had this in their home, considering M and L's family were very Catholic. I also need to point out that at this time, M's note had still not been discovered, despite the boys hanging out in L's room all evening. This likely had to do with the fact that his bed was an unmade mess with sheets strewn all around. To be honest, we weren't super interested in joining, again, hair braiding and boy time, but I believe L made some digs at us about how us older kids were too scared and he and his friends were braver than we were. That's all it took for M to agree that we would all participate. All of us managed to squeeze into L's messy bedroom, who insisted he would be hosting this ghoulish encounter. I believe we all huddled around, each placing a finger on the planchette, as L very dramatically waved his arms in the air and shouted, "Spirits, if you are here, give us a sign!" Whatever governing deity or energy you believe in is responsible for what happened next. Immediately, once L had shouted his proclamation to the spirits, one of L's friends looked over at the bed, saw the crumpled up paper, and asked in a shaky voice, "L, what's this?" He picked it up and handed it to L, who smoothed out the paper and read M's note out loud to the group. "You will all die tonight at midnight." For a moment, it was so silent you could have heard a pin drop. Then, complete and utter chaos broke out. All the boys started screaming and running around the room in a panic. One of Elle's friends asked him, "Elle, who could have written the note?" sounding as though he was on the verge of tears. Elle, who also looked terrified, shouted back, "It's the spirits, you idiot!" During this encounter, all of us girls were trying to look scared and bewildered, but we were honestly having to cover and hide our faces so the boys didn't see us all dying of laughter. The boys all ran out of the room to find M&L's parents, still absolutely terrified at this, quote, sign we had all just conjured from the spirit realm. And us girls finally let out the laughter and tears we had been trying to hold back. We were still lying on the floor, stomachs hurting from cackling so much when M's mother walked in, hands on hips with her lips pursed. "M," she angrily yelled, which finally got us to stop laughing. "What did you do to your brother and his friends? This is unacceptable and not funny," she said. M's parents were clearly not pleased that we had just scared the crap out of all the young boys, all of whom I think were now in tears. M received a harsh reprimand from both her parents, but after that, the boys left us alone. We were free to enjoy the rest of our evening, gossiping while eating ice cream and watching TV. And that, my friends, is the single time I ever messed with the Ouija board. Well, I guess technically we didn't even ask it a single question, so there was no risk of spirits or bad energy being released. I hope my story puts a smile on your face like it does mine every time I think about or hear Ouija boards mentioned. Thank you for all the joy, laughter, and interesting information you bring to my life with your podcast. Keep it creepy. This is some shit that would happen to me.
No notes. No notes.
This is some Shannon and Heather shenanigans that I would be like, "There's a note on my bed. It's the spirits, you idiot."
So you are Elle in this situation.
I'm Shannon's definitely the little brother. Certainly.
I think I'm M in this story. But I, the not even being able to predict how this would play out. M has got some sort of psychic capabilities to just be like, you're like, "This is a weird plan. Oh, it'll work."
She's wait. Like, "We'll need this later." And she crumples the paper, kisses it, and then throws it on his bed and is like, "Just wait." And you're like, "That's weird." And then it unfolded perfectly.
I love it. I loved playing with Ouija boards at sleepovers. When I was a kid, I also made my own, so I relate to a lot of these stories. And I never did have a note, though, that said, "You will all die tonight at midnight." That is scary, but also kind of funny. I mean,
oh, hilarious.
I, you know, to me, these are fairly harmless pranks. So, yes, you're going to get a bunch of 10-year-old boys upset for a minute. But also, leave your older sister and her friends alone when they're trying to talk about boys and braid hair.
Right. It's like, lesson learned. Don't fuck around with the big kids because they will fuck around with you back. That's what my mom probably would have told me. I'm like, crying. They made me scared. Why were you messing with them in the first place?
Get out of there. They don't want you in there.
They don't want you in there. Yeah. Oh, tricks like that, though, where it's like, "I think we heard something." Or I think, like, that's a rite of passage for a younger sibling. So I love this for Elle, that he's like, from his perspective, it's like the night that we thought we conjured something, an evil spirit.
You idiot.
It's the spirit,
you idiot. Yeah. Anonymous, if you still talk to M and Elle wants to write in his point of view of this story, I would love to hear it.
Yes, we welcome it with open arms. But that, thank you for that lighthearted. And I love that Zozo the Ouija board demon isn't cursing anyone except for with the those old memories we haven't thought of in a long time from elementary school. That's wonderful.
He's bringing us all back together, isn't he?
He's getting a bad rap, but I think he's just trying to help us remember.
We're rebranding him. That's all he needs. Well, thank you so much to everyone who sent in your stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next. We also release an archived bonus content once a month just for signing up for free. You can also join at a tier, and then you're getting like 800 to 900 hours of bonus content.
And our free trial, you can try it out at the highest tier and test it all out for a week without getting charged. You can also head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets. We didn't talk about this up top. We briefly mentioned we've been on tour, but our Full Moon Energy Tour is back. We've just had our first run of three shows. They were all so much fun.
Next up, we're stopping in Charlotte on June 11th. We're going to be in Raleigh on June 12th. And then we'll be in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Dallas. So not only are we going to talk all about the moon, what it does to you, the darker side of the moon, what really happened on the Apollo missions, what they don't want you to know, and what the fuck are they doing on the moon now, and what will they be doing for the next probably 5, 10, 20 years. Shocking information. So
we've added a lot to the show. So if you've seen it before, you're going to get to see some new stuff. If you haven't seen it, you're going to get to see just all sorts of, it's a very, not just fun, but informational evening. I would like to just put that out as our new tagline for it. Fun, yet informational.
Yes, I was very flattered by Paris's cousin who came to see it. She's like, the next night said, I'm staring up at the moon and I have a whole new appreciation for it.
I love it. Thank you so much.
So that's what we want. We want you to learn more and appreciate the moon. So go to sinisterhood.com/live shows and get your tickets. You can also follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch video versions of our episodes as well as clips from Freaky Friday on YouTube and TikTok. And you can order custom video shout outs for yourself on Cameo. It's graduation time. It's a great graduation gift. Or if somebody got accepted to a new program or they're starting summer school or something exciting, we love to celebrate milestones with Cameo. So go over to cameo.com and let us know what message you want us to deliver. And if you want us to do it with McGruff, the Corn Skull, Sir Garth or Brooks, whoever, just tell us at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather, what about you?
Pretty much everywhere at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.